Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Please open your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And just out of curiosity, who has connected to the Wi-Fi network here? Okay, two. All right, three, four. Okay. I still can't connect, so I'm just going to go with a paper, paper Bible today. So while you're turning to 1 Thessalonians, want to welcome, Robert and Sook's younger daughter, Mi-Chong, and be sure to say hello to her before she leaves. They'll be going to Tokyo this coming week, so just welcome to our church, and I hope that you feel the love and warmth of God while you visit us here. So we're going to read 10 verses, and please join me from verse 4, I'll read verses 1 through 3, and join me at verse 4 through 10. Good? Okay. All right. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read together. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. The very words of God. Amen? Well, I love the message of the Bible. I love the words and the work of Jesus. And I love this book. This year, we are studying in the Japanese service, the New Testament. And Pastor Hiroshi is giving us the Shinyaku Seisho no Nyumon, the introduction to the New Testament. And I have chosen to follow him in his messages, to go through the messages of the New Testament, the themes, the narrative. And the first 3 months of this year, we've tried to cover the Gospels and the book of Acts, basically the overarching story of Jesus and then the birth of the church. And then in this second quarter of 2017, I wanted to focus on the writings and letters of the Apostle Paul. And so I've given some messages from Galatians and Romans. Galatians being related to Romans in their main thrust of the heart of the gospel and the heart of Christian living. The heart of the gospel being really encapsulated in Galatians chapter 2, verse 22. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the heart of it. And then it goes on to the heart of Christian living, which is, now that I have put my trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, I live according to his promise, like we sang about today. His promise that he would not leave us alone as orphans, but he would send us the helper, the counselor, his Holy Spirit. And so the Christian doesn't only have salvation from God's wrath, but he has sanctification, God's Holy Spirit, and he has a hope for glorification because of the Holy Spirit. And because of that, we live in the Spirit. We keep in step with the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. We live with a dependence and awareness and obedience, submission to the Holy Spirit. So that was all in the message of Galatians and Romans. And in the last month of the first half of 2017, we want to close up our little series on Paul. And instead of focusing on the doctrine, the main thinking and the main teaching of the doctrine of being a Christian, I wanted to go into Paul's heart as a pastor and as a father, a spiritual father. And we get a very, very good idea of that in this book of Thessalonians. Very small book. 5 chapters. You can actually read it in 5 minutes. Maybe 20 minutes if you're like me, very slow. But in 1 Thessalonians, there is in this just wonderful teaching that you would get from, if you would had a pastor, if Paul was your pastor, and he came to you and he planted this church and he was like, okay, this is how I feel about you. And this is my words to you as a spiritual father, as a pastor to you. So that's what we're going to spend this last month, hopefully, when I'm preaching. We'll be in 1 Thessalonians. So let's get the backstory. I know we just read it. We'll spend probably 2 weeks, hopefully not more, in chapter 1. I'm going to get mainly from verses 1 through 3. And I think, as I've been studying this week and meditating it, I love what he says in verse 3. The work, the labor, and the endurance, the faith, the love, and the hope. I'm telling you. That's a good message for anybody in here today. And I'll get into it in just a minute. But so the address in the Bible is in the book of Acts, chapter 16. You don't have to turn there. You can trust me. But if you don't trust me, you go ahead and open there. But the story goes like this. Paul is traveling, and he wants to take the message of Jesus to Asia. He wants to go up and turn right. And then the Holy Spirit says, no. Don't go there yet. You're going to go left to Macedonia. And he has this vision. There's a man from Macedonia. He's saying, come and help us. And so this is his second trip going out from Antioch. So he doesn't go with Barnabas and Mark. This time he goes with Silas, also Silvanus. and a little brother named Timothy, a younger brother, he picked up in another town. And he's going and traveling around there, and he gets to a city called Philippi. Philippi. He's down by the river. He meets a wealthy woman named Lydia, and they're talking about the gospel, and they begin a church in Philippi. And in Philippi, things are going well, but what happens is the businesses of the statue makers, the gold fortune tellers and all that, people are going to Jesus and they're not buying the idols, the little statues. And so they're just, you know, the movement of the church is disrupting the business of the city. And so there becomes a riot. And so they try to get Paul and they beat him up. And then they throw him out of the city. And so he goes on to a few other cities. And then he reaches, he goes north and he reaches Thessalonica. It's actually still there. There's a city in Greece. It's called Saloniki. And you can still go there. And they have the excavation of the churches the old city there. So he goes there. It's actually a bigger town. And there's more people there. And he's there for 3 weeks. He goes to the Jewish congregation called the synagogue. And he's trying to teach from the Old Testament who Jesus is, how he is the Savior, and he's the long-awaited Messiah. So there are lots of Jews who believe him. And not only Jews, but non-Jews who are studying the Bible. And the message is going out with power. You read it in verse 5. With power. Our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power. And there was impact as he's preaching. And so lives are changing. And then what happened was people from Philippi came to Thessalonica. And they were starting to point their fingers at Paul and Timothy and Silas and saying, these three guys, they messed everything up in Philippi, and now they're here in Thessalonica, and they're trying to mess everything up for this city. And then there's a big riot, and they go to the magistrate, the leader of the town, and they're saying, these missionaries, they're saying there's another king, that Caesar is not the king, but they're saying that this Jesus, who they say rose from the dead, they say that he's king. And then there's this big uproar, and they beat him, and they stone him, and they imprison him. And then they got to get him out of the city. So in Acts 17, he's going from Philippi to Thessalonica, and then they move him out to Athens. In Athens, he's by himself now, and he sends Silas and Timothy elsewhere. And he goes from Athens, he preaches in Athens, amazing story. And from Athens, he goes to Corinth. Now let's get the timing right. This is about 15 to 20 years after Jesus was resurrected. The year is about 49 AD. This is very important to keep in. This is not just knowledge, but this will go somewhere, trust me. So in 49 AD, he reaches Thessalonica. He's there for about 3 weeks, maybe a little bit more. He gets thrown out and he gets to Corinth, an even bigger city. And even more people, and he has a bigger church. And he's in Corinth for about a year and, you know, plus. Now, he hears some news about the people in Thessalonica. They're struggling. They're losing their jobs. Their family is closing their doors to them. They're getting put in prison. They're being hurt. They're being attacked. This brand new church, weeks old, maybe months old, right? And so Paul says, okay, all right. Timothy, Silas, go and see what's going on. See if you can help them. I'm worried about them. So they go to Thessalonica from Corinth. And Paul's there working in Corinth. A few weeks later, Timothy and Silas, they come back to Paul. And Paul is worried. These are his spiritual children. He loves them. He's praying for them. He's wondering, are they okay? And the news is, we'll read in chapter 1. They're doing well. They're doing well. They're working. Their faith is going out. They're enduring. They're laboring. Now, there's some problems. And Paul is going to address those problems in this letter. There's some issues that he'll mention, he'll teach. But for the most part, they send Timothy and Silas back and they say, Father Paul, we're doing okay. We're doing all right. And so what does Paul do? He says, I'm going to write them a letter. I want to tell them I'm thinking about them. This is about the year A.D. 50. A.D. 50. This is probably one of, if not, the first letters written in the New Testament. A.D. 50. They say that for myth and legend to finally come around and to grow, it takes years and years and years. And after maybe 100 or 200, 300 years, the stories of the resurrection and the miracles and all those things, they finally begin to take shape and to form. So they say that, you know, Christianity, all the miracles and the things that Jesus did, and especially the resurrection, they weren't teaching that until 200 or 300 years after Jesus was on earth. Not so. This was written in A.D. 50. Within one lifetime of Jesus, they're already teaching Jesus is risen from the dead. That's important. Because I don't know how long you've been a Christian, and I don't know what you've been taught as a Christian, but everything we believe stands on the ground that Jesus is God and that he was risen from the dead. But we'll get into that in a minute. Now, with that as a sort of little introduction, I want to spend just a few minutes, not a long sermon today, just a small base hit. We're not trying to hit a home run, but just a little base hit of an encouragement for you. I want to go through verses 1, 2, and 3 and just get some nourishment from there. Paul, Silas, and Timothy. The Thessalonians hear these three names and they say, ah, Papa Paul. That's the one who led us. As Michelle testified, she remembers her English teacher, her friends from her university, with affection. Do you remember the one who led you to Christ? Do you remember the one who prayed with you? Do you remember the one who brought you the first teachings of Jesus? And how do those feelings come up? Well, that's the feelings that these Thessalonians felt. And with Silas and Timothy. The church in Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The church probably meeting in a house, somebody's home. Maybe about the size of this congregation. Not that many, but enough. Right? Grace and peace to you. That is the greeting of a Christian. Grace and peace. Sometimes I like to end my emails. Grace and peace to you. Right? Because that's what it's like. That's what life is about. The grace of God. The grace God gives me, I want to give to people. And the peace that I have, it's in Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. Oh, man. Oh, man. One of the things that changed my life was I was sitting where you were sitting, and Pastor Hiroshi just mentioned, in briefly, he wasn't even talking about a point. He was just saying, you know, I was praying for you because that's my job. And then he just goes on to what he says. And I thought, yeah. Yeah, Pastor Hiroshi, you know, he teaches the Bible. He gives counseling. He has meetings. He meets with all the leaders the Christian leaders in Hiroshima. He's also part of the Assemblies of God seminary. He teaches the upcoming pastors in Tokyo. He does a lot of things. Okay, he organizes a lot of events, blah, blah, all these things. But you know what? There was one day, and I'm glad he's not here because I can tell you this. On Kyohei's 7th birthday, I bought him his first Bible. And what I did for Kyohei was I woke him up at 5:30 in the morning. It's still dark. This is October 31st. It's very dark, 5:30 in the morning, Halloween. And I said, Kyohei, wake up. It's your birthday. He's like, what? And I picked him up and I put him in the car. And we drove to church. Drove here, 5:30 in the morning, October 31st. Yeah, 2014, I think. And it's all dark, and we get to the church. There's one light on in the church. The light is in Pastor Hiroshi's office. Now, what is Pastor Hiroshi doing 5:30 in the morning? Everything else is dark. It's very cold. What would the pastor be doing at 5:30 in the morning before even the Lord wakes up? Right? He's praying for us. Do you realize if you get anything good from this church, if there is any blessing that you receive from this ministry, there is no doubt in my mind it comes from the prayers of our senior pastor. There's no doubt in my mind. There are many things that this church fails to do. There's many things that we are not able to do and we're inadequate and we just aren't good enough. But still, God uses this church to spread the gospel, to comfort the lost, to call those who would be God's people in powerful ways. God changes lives through this ministry. And it's not because Mitake is some super mega church where everything is perfect and all everybody has the right education and we're all, you know. No. I'm telling you. I've been doing this for a while. I've grown up in this. And I've seen what bad churches are, and I know that this is a good one. All because we have a pastor who prays for us. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. That changed me. That convicted me. And that made me think, okay, if I'm failing as a pastor, it's because I'm failing to pray for each one here. Let's get to the good part. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. I was not going to preach this verse. I was actually going to go over it and move on from verse 4 to verse 10. But God grabbed me and said, don't you forget this part, Chris. This is the good stuff right here. It's three words there, right? Work, labor, endurance. And they're paired or coupled with three very important words. Faith, love, and hope. Interesting. Where is Paul writing this letter? Where? Corinth, right? Does faith, hope, and love come up in the letter to the Corinthians, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. Three things remain. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love, right? I thought, wow, it's connected there. You know, Galatians is the seed form of the book of Romans. The heart of Romans is there in Galatians. You can see the connection if you read them. And I really think, you know, Thessalonians, the pastoral letter, is very similar to Corinthians, right? It'd be interesting to study those two side by side. But anyways, faith, love, and hope. And there's a work of faith. And I thought, wait a minute. He calls it a work of faith and a labor of love. Is that just like rhetoric? Is he just trying to, you know, turn a phrase? or is there something to it? So I get online and I go to BibleHub.com. That's where I do a lot of Bible study. They have the Greek Bible on there, many versions of the Greek. And I looked up the words for work and labor. Interesting. So, the word work, ergo in Greek, it just means like your job, something that occupies your time. And he's saying there's the work that comes from your faith, the work produced by faith. Paul, why are you talking about work that comes from faith? I'm setting you up. The reason is, one of the issues at this church in Thessalonica, there's some people who are not working. There are some people who have this faith, they call it faith. And they're saying, yeah, okay, I believe in Jesus. He's coming back? Wonderful. Soon? He's coming soon? Great. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to tell my boss, you can take this job and shove it. Why? Because I'm a Christian now. I believe Jesus is risen from the dead. He's coming back. Maybe tomorrow. I don't need to work. I can just live for Jesus, quote unquote. I don't have to work. I don't have to do anything. I'm just going to wait for him to come back. And Paul says, what? Do you have faith? Because if there is a faith, there's going to be work. There's going to be a work produced by faith. There is a relationship there. And there's a lot of, people who think they know the Bible and they're talking about, you know, it's all about faith and we don't believe in works righteousness. We're not saved by works. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a job. Just work. Now, some of you think, you know, Pastor Chris, 大変だね. もう毎日仕事するから. でまた日曜日にまたここに仕事するんです. They think, Pastor Chris, you have to go to work on Sunday, your only day off. I work Monday through Saturday every week. And then I have to work here. Can I tell you something? This is not work. What I'm doing right now. When Cha comes up, plays guitar. When Raiden comes up, plays guitar. When Edgar comes up, plays bass. When Janelle comes up, plays drums. When Cindy, Maria, and Michelle, and Vanessa come up and start singing, they're not working. They're worshiping. They're worshiping. This is worship for me, right here. Amen? Yeah. Work is me studying, praying, reading, meditating. That's done Monday through Saturday. This is just worship. Okay, there's an element of it that occupies my time. There's work. And it comes from my faith in Jesus. There's work. That's Monday through Saturday. Okay, fine. All right, fine. So the things I do for church and at church, it's not work? Well, it's work. But this word here, this is about your job. What? Me believing in Jesus, get this, please get this. Me believing in Jesus means what I do tomorrow morning from 8:45 to 5 in the p.m., I do that because I love Jesus. When I prepare lessons, when I teach junior high and high school, when I go into the gymnasium and shout and scream at basketball players, when I prepare Bible studies for my students, when I grade tests and I give big checks and big mark boxes, that's what God has prepared for me to do to glorify Him. Let's go back to Genesis. God makes the world. And then God makes Adam. What does God tell Adam to do? Here you go. Here's a shovel. Take care of this for me. You give the names to everything that needs names. You use your mind and you use your hands to take care of this world that I've given you. Work. Work. Right? That was there in the beginning. What does Adam do? He works, but he messes it up. Because what he does is starts working for himself. He takes the fruit and he says, I'm going to decide who I'm going to work for. I'm not going to work for him anymore. I'm going to work for me. And he messes it up for everyone, for all of us now who want to work. But now the balance is, am I working for this paycheck, for this house, for these clothes, for this? Am I working because God gave me this job? And so Jesus comes along and he says, I'm here to work. I'm here to work for you, to heal, to open the eyes of the blind, to teach, to preach, to work. And then I'm going to go on the cross and I'm going to work out there. And when I'm on the cross and it's all done, I'm going to say, it is finished. So now, our work is not so that I can be a good man, so God will take my work and say, you've done enough, you've done it right. No. My work now is, you've given me everything. And you've given me a place to do what you want to do in this place. You see, God has put you in your place of work. Not here at the church, but there in the school, in the business, in the shipyard, in the construction site, at the restaurant, wherever you are, because God has put you there to work. It's produced by faith. There's a work produced by faith. I need to get going to love, to the labor. So the word work and then the word labor, that's a different word. So here's the work. Work is, I occupy my time during the day, and I'm going to get something back for it. I expend my mind, my energy, and something's going to come back to me, a wage, a paycheck. Here's the thing about labor. For the mothers, you know what labor is. Labor means you put in effort and energy, emotion, and time, and you get nothing back. Yes, you don't have to say amen. You say, for work, you get paid back. You get a wage. For labor, you get nothing back. That's why you need love. You need love. You, right? There's some relationships that you have. You get nothing back from it. It's called parenting. You give and you give and you give and you give some more and you got nothing left. And you're, are you going to give anything back? Is there going to, you know, nothing comes back. Maybe a hug and a kiss, but that does not pay the bills, right? That doesn't put food on the table. That just feels good. But that's labor. You see, you're not going to understand labor until you understand work, right? So there's the work, but you see, at some point now, some of you understand, at some point, I'm going to work, but at some point, I don't want to do this anymore. It's costing me more than I'm actually getting back for it. This person I meet with, they give absolutely nothing to me personally. And I'm tired of it, but I'm still going to meet. I'm still going to talk. I'm still going to give. This job that I'm doing, this bulletin I'm making, probably people aren't going to say thank you all that much for it. But there is a love that God has given to me so that I don't need anything back for it. That's why it's a labor. You will never labor. You will never know the meaning of labor until you have the love of God fill you. Yes, yes, there is work and there's labor without God. Yes, there is. You don't have to be a Christian to understand labor and work. But as a Christian, labor and work are completely flipped around. Work becomes work with, for, and to God. And labor becomes something that is fueled by the love of God. So, here's the Thessalonians. What is their work and what is their labor? Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit later on in the series. But Paul just wants to say, look, guys, I see it and I hear it, I hear about it, and I just want to encourage it. I think some of us need to hear this. Some of us do. When I say some of us, I mean all of us some of the time. What am I talking about? For some of you, you know, some of you, you cook. And when you cook, you're just doing it. You make the breakfast or you make the lunch or the dinner and you put it out there and you're done. And then they say, oh, this is good. Oishi, my. And you say, of course, I made it. This is delicious. I know. Who are you talking to, right? And then there's another person who does the cooking. And they do it, and they're doing it, and they put it out there. And they're waiting. And you're eating it. And they're waiting. Right? And you're eating it. And they're asking you, is it good? Right? And you say, yeah, it's good. Really? Yeah, it's good. Right? Or, they're eating. When are you going to tell me it's good? They're waiting for you to tell them it's good. Why? They need to hear that the effort, the work, and the labor that they've put in was worth it. They just need something, right? I have on my basketball team, I have some players. I tell them to do this, and they do it. Or I tell them to change this, and they change it. And I have some players, after every play, the basket, the rebound, the pass it, I'm standing there, I'm watching. And after they do something, they look at me. Right? I'm like, what are you looking at me for? Right? They get the rebound, they pass it, they pass. Okay, yeah. And I'm just like, yeah, you did it. Okay, you did it. Why? There's some people who need to know. He's watching me. He sees me. He approves. It's good. You need that, don't you? I'll be honest, I need that. I need it. I need people to tell me, good job. Okay? I'm that weak of a person. But when my God, my Father, Jesus, comes to Thessalonians, I open it up and he tells me, Chris, you're doing it. Your work is through faith and your labor is through love. I see it, Chris. You keep at it. And I say, thank you. That's all I need. That's all I need. And Paul is telling them, my children, my brothers, my sisters, my sons and my daughters, I see it. Keep at it. Keep at it. I know it's hard and sometimes you're sleepless and sometimes you're crying and you're so tired. I know. Keep at it. Keep at it. Some of us need to understand, you need to get to work. Some of us, you're listening to this and you think, okay, I'm just taking and I'm receiving and I'm getting. But there will come a point when you understand Jesus has given you all that you need and it's time to get to work. There's that point. And that'll come eventually. But then there's the other group that says, I've been working. Do you even notice I'm working? Yes, Jesus hears it. He sees it. Well done, good and faithful servant. Keep going. Keep going. Keep enduring. That brings us to our third word, endure. Your endurance inspired by hope. Now, what is this hope? This hope is not like, okay, I'm going to get paid, or, yeah, Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And Jehovah Jireh, my provider. No, it's not that hope. You go down to verse 10, what we just read. Verse 10. Okay. And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. That's important. That's your hope. That's what gives you endurance. Pastor Chris, what are you talking about? Our hope is not like just, you know, these Thessalonians were suffering as Christians. They were suffering because they became Christians. Do you suffer because you're a Christian? Probably not, right? You suffer because, like me, you're just you. Okay, so for the foreigners here, right, we have, you know, we're gaikokujin. We're people from a different country. We're outside. We're people from the outside country. So we have limits. Language, understanding, culture. And then that makes us gaijin. We're outsiders. And so, you know, we struggle with just trying to figure out things. We struggle because people don't let us in. Because they can't. Just the nature of things. Or the word I heard this morning, sabetsu. We're actually literally discriminated against. And that's some way that we suffer. It's not fair, but that's what happens. And then there's the Japanese in here. Here's the thing. In some way, you are suffering as a Christian. Because Japanese people who become Christians, wow, they have to turn their back on thousands of years of ancestry, of culture, of loyalty, of family. And they're saying, I'm going to leave this behind to become this. And you have become a gaijin just for being a Christian. And you're in Japan, but you're somehow, in a weird way, no longer Japanese because you've become Christian. It's kind of weird. And it's not like in your face, but in the back of the head, people don't say it out loud, but, well, you're not one of us anymore. And for some Japanese Christians, it's really in their face. Oh, you're a Christian? No. Don't you even think about becoming baptized? What? You married a Christian? What? Does that mean you're not going to go and pray and clean the graves? And you're not going to take care of your ancestors? And you're not going to get the butsudan? And what? And so there's that. And that becomes a test or a trial that needs endurance. And sometimes it's just not fair. It's not fair. It's unjust. And so the Christian has this thing called hope. That one day, all the injustice, all the unfairness, the sabetsu, the discrimination, and the rejection will someday be made right. A day is coming. Someday, when Jesus will come, and he will turn it all right. He will make the things that were not true become untrue. And he will change the story. It's called the return of the Lord. It's called the day of the Lord. It's all throughout the Bible, all the way from Genesis to Revelation, the day of the Lord. Oh yeah, we're going to study that in the next month, the day of the Lord. But our hope is in Mindanao, that will get resolved someday. Our hope is here in Hiroshima, in our own family. That's going to resolve someday. It's not going to fix itself, but we believe that there is a God strong enough and good enough to fix it. And He's done it inside me, He's going to do it around me, and He's going to do it in this world someday. That is our hope. Now, if I don't have that hope, I'm not going to endure. I'm not. I'm going to give up. But I love the song we sang. Here I stand, forever in your mighty hand. Written in the promises that you have for me. See, we have this hope because Jesus has promised us. And also, Janelle sang about it. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. That's right out of John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Do not lose hope. Don't despair. I, in my Father's house, are many, right? Many rooms. I've got something waiting for you that I've been preparing and building. Oh, don't you dare give up on me now. Don't even think about letting go. I know you struggle. I know I've heard your cries. I've counted your tears. They will count for something. I know it. So don't you dare give up. You have a hope that is secure. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus. Why can you have your hope? Well, because in the Garden of Gethsemane, before he went to the cross, Jesus says, I don't want to do this, Lord, but not my will, but yours be done. Not so that I can have glory, but Father, for their salvation. Our hope is in the Jesus who rescued us from the coming wrath. All of us know this. You know it. What does every sin deserve? The wrath and curse of God. But because Jesus went to the cross, the wrath and curse of God fell upon him so that the faith, hope, and love of God can be ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. So my friend, my brother, my sister, keep going. The Father sees you, and He loves what you're doing. And for those of you who are still idle, be warned. For those of you who are discouraged, be encouraged. For those of you who are weak, be strengthened by this. And glorify Him. Thank Him for the hope. Praise Him for the love. Rejoice in the faith that He's given to you. Let's do it now. Let's come to Him and to His throne. And let's bow our heads in prayer. So, Father, we come before You now. Lord, faith, hope, and love. Lord, let us live under these banners even tomorrow. Faith, hope, and love. That our work will be coming from our faith. That the labor will be fueled by Your love. And that we'll be able to endure as You hold out Your hope for us. I pray for those in this room, Lord, whose hope might be very weak right now. I ask You, Lord, to uphold them. Help them to follow You. To see You, Lord, with the eyes of faith. I pray for those in this room now who are coming to a stronger faith. I pray, Lord God, that they would be strengthened, held secure, built up in their faith, God. And finally, for the love, Lord God, I pray for the love that is in Jesus Christ. Oh God, the beauty, the song, the melody, that is Your love. I pray that that would ring in our ears even this evening. That that love would fuel us to continue to labor, to give, Lord God. And Lord, for this we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.